We've entitled our message, Living Our Best in 2022. Living Our Best in 2022. I want to take you back to the 17th century for a moment and leading on into the 18th century. And there's this man that had this encounter that was just incredible. George Whitefield. I don't know if that name's familiar to anybody. Might want to study him out. I think you might like Whitefield a little bit. He's he liked theatrics, but well-known messenger of God. He was on a ride back then because the cars were still being developed, right? They're not quite there yet, and he was on a ride with a companion, and they're making their way to a town, and then while they're making their way to that town, they were encountered a guy riding up behind them who meant no good. So he comes up behind them and he goes, "Okay, I want your money." And basically holds them up, and they didn't fight the situation. They just took the money out and gave what little they had to the man, and he rode off. Whitefield's making his way down the road, and a little further down the road, he gets down the road, and all of a sudden, the guy comes up upon them a second time. And he says, "Okay, I want your coat." So Whitefield takes his coat off and gives it to the man, and the man gives him his old ratty coat back to him. And then they make their way to the town. Well, believe it or not, the way the story goes is that he makes his way down the road, and all of a sudden they see the guy coming at him a third time. And so they just like, "Giddy up, horse, let's go." And they start galloping their way to the town. They make their way to the town, and the guy doesn't catch up with them. And so as they journeyed on this journey, however, that third time, with full surprise, you know, he says, "Let's go, let's get out of here." They make their way, and they make it to the town safely. Later on, wondering why this robber had come up upon them and attempted a third time. The way the story goes, meanwhile, Whitefield felt something in the coat pocket lining of the coat that the robber had given him because they had stolen his coat. And inside that lining of that coat pocket was some money, and well, it was more than what was stolen from the men. So the lining has some money in it, and they took the cash, and the way the story goes is Mr. Whitefield gave the cash to a local orphanage that he had supported. And he gave it away. I tell you this story because sometimes we feel robbed in life. You know, I mean, unless you think about, you know, this COVID era that we've been going through, we feel a little robbed. We robbed of good health. As we get older, we definitely feel that way. Maybe you've been robbed by family. Maybe you've been robbed, scammed, you know. Scammers are out there all over the place. And there's a lot of things, 101 different ways that you think and you go through that robs us of our joy and our happiness and our peace and our contentment and our strength. And so, however, the providence of God is like this. The unfortunate circumstances that may happen, we find the wealth of God's goodness, that God's still there. We see God's goodness tucked under the lining of that coat, just as they had found more cash that was stolen from them. We see the story of the life of the man, Joseph. You know, we've been doing our study, and if you've done any study thoroughly of that, you know, typology you hear of Christ here, but Joseph's life was like this roller coaster ride, really. An incredible roller coaster ride. There was the good times in life, and there were the dark times in life. And however, he continued to live his best life. I think his father really was intentional in training him in those latter years of his life. When Joseph and Benjamin, the younger of the two, were given and born unto him, God was with him. And we're going to see some of that even today. My hope this morning is that you might walk away with truth about God, once again. We have, in the story of Joseph's life, the first truth that God's always present. He's always present. And it's a strong and it's powerful truth, and it's a truth that we can look forward to, anticipate in, lean into, rest in. He's present in the successful days that are going well. He's present in the hard times, the difficulties that come our way. If you're in Christ, God is with you in all seasons of life. All seasons, the good, the bad. The truth is this, when you believe that God is really present, there are major benefits in life, really. When you really believe this, kind of like the phrase you've heard me say, do you really believe what you believe is really real? And if you believe that God's truth is real and God's real, then you know what? It's going to impact you in a mighty, mighty way. The last time we studied Genesis, Joseph was, remember, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And, excuse me, he was favored by his father. As the kid with the coat of many colors, right? You know Joseph, right? He's about 17 years of age, and man, Joseph was this young man, typical young man. He probably flaunted this before his siblings, that he had older little brothers, and they weren't liking that because they wanted to take him out, literally. And so, but this is the background and where we came from. And Joseph went to go check on them because his father has sent them on this mission. Go see how your brothers are doing. Give me a report. Well, the last few reports probably he gave that weren't good. The reason why the brothers probably did not like him very much. And for whatever the reason the case may be, as he goes to travel, he gets his brothers, you know, accustomed and sell them into slavery into Egypt. And he's sold to this high-ranking official, Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And so some of that story and background, I'm just painting this picture. He's kind of like, I guess you would say, like our chief of police, if you will. He was the head of Pharaoh's security forces. Some say that his title was that of an executioner of the people that they would conquer. Kind of not necessarily a nice man. Highly trusted official in the government. High-ranking officer, but at this point, Joseph went from an honored position with his father to this slave, this lowly servant. Life's not easy for Joseph. Now a slave in a foreign country is where we're going to be picking up the story of Joseph's life. We're going to look at this and kind of again ask the question, you know, how is the providence of God work through all this? What is it that we can walk away from? What can we learn? What is he showing us? Maybe even reminding us, because it's a familiar story. Maybe it's been told to you before. But let's pray. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Excuse me. Lord, as we get into your word of this morning hour, we ask your blessing. We ask that your spirit may be poured out, that you may teach us and remind us of things that we maybe have forgotten about, or needed to be reminded about, or maybe encouraged, or focused on once more. And then lean into and embrace. Lord, we just simply pray that as your word goes forth, that you may use it in a mighty and powerful way, that you teach our hearts, each and every one of us. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. So take your copy of the word of God. Turn with me to Genesis 39, verse 1. We're going to start. The words will be on the screen, but follow along with your copy of the word of God. I really encourage you to open it up, whether it's an app on your phone, but get into God's word. It says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guards, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of the Egyptian master. This master saw that the Lord was with him. You're going to notice something here as we read through it. God's with him. God's with him. You might even want to circle it or highlight it. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Now the Lord caused all things he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house, put him in charge all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in the house and the overseer all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house. For Joseph's sake, the blessing of the Lord went on all that he had in his house and the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he put everything that he has in charge. And he is not greater in the house than I am, nor has he kept anything back from me except you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he spoke to Joseph, and she spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her, to lie beside her, to be with her. So from verse 11 through 20, basically Potiphar's wife is going to frame Joseph. If you remember anything about that part of the story, if you know this part of God's word, he accused him of sexually, she accused Joseph of sexually assaulting her, and therefore Potiphar had no choice but to throw Joseph into prison, and worse, really. So move on down with me to Genesis 39, look at verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one to do it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it successful." So as we look at this portion of scriptures, we look forward to what's going on in our lives even. You know, what is God doing? How's he working? How do we see in Joseph's life, maybe God's working in our lives, in our circumstances? So what are some truths about God that we see from Joseph's lives? Well, I believe the first truth is God's always present and never takes his presence away from you. So God's always present and he never removes his presence from you. Never. God was present when Joseph was thrown in that pit by his brothers. And God was present when Joseph was sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. God was always present in Joseph's life. In fact, if you look at the story, and it's not a story truly of Joseph. There's stories throughout the pages of Scripture. The stories really are stories of God and the character of God and how God works. And that's what I want us to see. Look at Genesis 39:2. It states, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands." So when Joseph arrives here in Egypt, he was, you know, in this dynasty that was been around for like 15 dynasties, famous ruler at the time, and full swing of being a prosperous nation. And every morning this nation would rise up, and they would rise up to the sun that would rise in the morning. People would gather to chant hymns. Why would they do this? Because they worshipped pagan gods. Who were some of those gods? Well, those idols ranged from anything from, you know, raising up and worshiping cows and crocodiles and birds and the sun, the moon, the star. The idols were bathed, they were dressed, the breakfast was offered to the gods. Joseph may have been shocked. What is going on around me? This is incredible stuff. He probably opened his eyes after a long, dusty journey, and as he saw the Egyptians' gods everywhere surrounding him, surrounded by the cosmic god, the sun god, and the moon god, and the air god, Joseph was thinking in his heart and his mind, "Man, what is going on around me, Lord? What is it that you have me in?" They were idols for the rising, the falling of the Nile River. Pharaoh himself, their ruler of that nation, was considered a god. Meanwhile, when he was there, sold to Potiphar, the high-ranking official, he went from the stinky pit to penthouse living. Life became good for Joseph, really, if you think about it, for a slave standard. And so he had and Joseph was turned upside down in his world, and just really his world was just moved in such a way that it just caused him maybe to really... If he had any excuse to go under and be depressed, this would be one of them. And now how do I deal with this? Anger, maybe bitterness. Why my brothers do this to me? However, just the opposite happened. Joseph does some things that are incredible. While Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he was successful. He set the tax to do life excellent with excellence. Verse 3 says, all that he did succeeded in his hands. You go down to verse 4, and Joseph became the CEO or FCO of the Potiphar's house. He was in control of it all. I mean, he just becomes elevated along the way here. By verse 5, Joseph realized the household was successful. Potiphar realizes that he was so successful, he didn't trust everything to him. Verse 6, Joseph was left in charge of all the affairs. I mean, Joseph went up. The point is, in a short time, Joseph went from a humble slave to experiencing incredible success. So he was living the best life. Here's the only reason why he was successful. It was because God was with him. It was because God was with him. You know, verse 2 states the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3 states the master saw that the Lord was with him. Verse 3, again, the Lord caused some success. And the writer is writing to us and sending a message very strongly and clearly. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian household. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had. This states the Lord was with Joseph in verse 21 and 23. Joseph was in prison later on because of the accusation from Potiphar's wife, you know, thrown in the prison. The guard states the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it successful time and time again. God was with him in the ups and the downs, in the difficulties and the successes. If you notice the word Lord in all caps in your Bible that you have, the title for God here is Yahweh, the one true eternal God, self-existent God, God Almighty, personal covenant-keeping God. That's who that Lord is, and it's Joseph's Lord. The point being the time... This title was used here, and it's being emphasized in, I'd say, at least 8 different times. And so get one point very clear for you and I, the reader. That point being is that God's in control. The God of the universe who created the heavens and the earth was with Joseph, just as he is with you and I. Joseph, the most uncertain times of life, God was with him. When Joseph thought God was silent, God was present with him. When Joseph thought God was abandoned in him, in his situation, God was with him. When felt alone, surrounded by all these idols, all these poor pagan gods, you know, God was there. He was close. I love how one author states this. He says, Yahweh, Jehovah, was with him to effect a mighty work for his covenant people and the blessing of the world. That's the big picture. The writer's writing, he's zooming the lens back. This author's saying, you know what? Yahweh, Jehovah, was with him to effect a mighty work for his covenant people and the blessing of the world, blessing for you and I. This is a message that was written thousands and thousands of years earlier. These events took place earlier on so that things would be fulfilled. In other words, God was present in Joseph's life for a bigger purpose. God was moving history forward through Joseph's life to preserve his covenant people, to bring about the babe in Bethlehem, if you will. Truly so. His son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We just celebrated this. God, in his sovereignty, was making a way, and he was using Joseph's life. If you understand and see the big picture, you're connecting the dots that we've talked about. You're seeing how God works so that you and I could have eternal life. This is why God allowed Joseph to succeed for his mighty work, that we might celebrate the birth of Jesus today. If we are honest, we often look at our circumstances and truly allow them to determine whether God's present or not. We look at our circumstances and we let them probably get the best of us at times. If things are going good, God's with me, man. God, thank you for hearing my prayers. Things are going bad. Things are going difficult. God, where are you, man? I need you now. You're kind of calling out to him like that sometimes, probably. If you think things are really bad, you wonder, why have you left me? What have I done wrong? Can I remind you of something? God never left. The point is, this is far from the truth. God never left. Our circumstances don't determine the presence of God. And in this couple of years, God's leaving our... No, God's not leaving us. He's not leaving our nation. He's not leaving his people. Those that are serving across the world and in persecuted church and those that are really on fire for the Lord and those that are just down in the dumps, God's there. If you're a Christian, he's always present. Just be mindful of that. Be reminded today. I love how Scripture supports Scripture. If you take a look at Psalms 34:18, and the words will be on the screen, you can turn there if you will. But Psalms 34:18 states something very clearly. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, saves the crushed in spirit. That's a promise in the Word of God, found in the Psalms. Another one, Psalm 77, we find a man by the name of Asaph. It's a little story that I want to bring us to and kind of revisit. We find a man named Asaph, and he was discouraged when the people, the Babylonian people, came in and took his people captive, God's people. He cries out to God, where are you? Where are you, God? He thought that God had abandoned his people since they disobeyed him over and over again, which is typical. If you know anything about if you know anything about the Word of God and the stories throughout the pages of Scripture, God's people turn their back time and time again. There's this cycle of sin. There's these wandering periods constantly. He cried out to God, where are you? And he thought that God had abandoned his people since they disobeyed him, didn't worship him alone, allowed other things to influence their lives. However, at a pivotal point in the Psalms, he remembers. Asaph remembers all that God had done for Israel. Because you know part of the story, and a lot of you guys have walked with God for many years, but you know that they were in captivity in Egypt. You can kind of think ahead a little bit. And so look at the Psalm 77 with me, 19:20. He's referring to this time in history, Israel's history, when God saved Israel from Egypt and he delivers them out. He parts the Red Sea so that they may escape and they may head to the promised land and develop this relationship with God. And look at verse 19. Your way, that is God, was through the sea, the path through the great waters. Your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He remembers. God went before them. He provided a way. Asaph said that even though God's footprints were unseen, God's presence was with his people. And I guarantee you, if you haven't been there, you'll be there, that sometimes you think, Lord, where are you? But he's there. Be mindful of that. If you're in Christ, your circumstances say nothing about your stance with God. He's got you in the palm of his hand. He'll never leave you or forsake you, even the good, the bad, and the ugly. God is always present. That's the truth. That's what the pages of Scripture preaches and teaches. Here's the next truth we see from Joseph's life, and that is this: when you believe that God is present, then there are major benefits. When you own this, you understand this. There's benefits to this. When you kind of like personalize it and say, okay, I really believe what I believe is really real, and there's benefits from that. Let's look at some of those benefits. In Genesis 39, God's presence helps Joseph to resist a difficult situation, to resist a temptation that was put before them. Joseph has placed in this relationship with God far, he places his relationship with God far above everything else, really. It's important. It's a priority in his life. I was, from my study, my examination, he elevates God's ways over his own wants and desires. And this is what's key to living really the blessed life for 2022. That not my ways, but God's ways. Your ways are higher than my ways, Lord. Look what happens to Joseph next. And kind of you get to wrestle with this with me. Just when things were going really well, pardon me, he's elevated. Now Joseph has this description of himself in Genesis 39:6. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, so he's a good-looking guy. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to the master's wife, "Behold, because of my master has no concern about anything in the house and has put everything that he has in my charge, he is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he spoke to Joseph day, and she spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. So here's what we know. First, we know we have no doubt that God was with Joseph. We kind of understand that. We've seen his response so far. And meanwhile, Potiphar's wife realizes that Joseph's a good-looking guy, man. Let me entice him to come my way. And my husband's off doing business all the time, you know. He's quite good-looking, well-built, this handsome guy. And notice verse 7, what goes on there is Potiphar's wife propositions him. Joseph's faced with this dilemma. She commands him, really. She gets what she wants. You know, she's really second in charge in the house, right? Husband first, then the wife. Apparently, she had a habit of getting what she wanted. And so Joseph, being this young man, you think that he's 17, 18 years old. Why not, you know? Very healthy, you know, curious young boy, you know, growing up here. The home, the scene is not a good scenario. It's a tempting situation for sure. However, notice Joseph's response, and we can learn something from the pages of Scripture. He refused her. In verse 8, he refused her. In verse 9, he states that Potiphar had put him in charge of everything except, you know, she's not to be touched, really. She's Potiphar's wife. He's not to touch her. By verse 10, Joseph called her like it is. This is wicked. This is not right. And so he's clarifying the situation very strongly, and he calls this a great sin against God. Man, that's a young man that has a heart for God and is putting things in the right perspective. Here's the key point. Joseph was very aware, I believe, of the presence of the Lord, and we need to be aware of that as well. He knew that God sees all. We need to remember that quite often. He knows that his acts was an offense to God. He was aware that God was right there with him. And he connects the dots, if you will. The point is, this saved his character big time. Joseph didn't realize that sometimes resisting, and this is important, makes things harder. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. He takes his stands and life gets harder. Look at Genesis 39:10. And she spoke to Joseph day after day, and he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, to be with her. She kept asking day after day and kept saying no day after day. I mean, this was going on and on. And he couldn't resist Potiphar's wife because he could only resist her because God was with him, giving him the strength. God gave him the power to say no again and again. But just a little note, and reality hits us all, right? First sin is, it's a real battle. Let's just say it like it is. Sin often is a real battle, and it doesn't go away. We think that, oh, that's, I'm done with that one. No, it doesn't really go away. It's real. You can say no at one point, and sin comes back again and rears its ugly head in a different way. The enticement, the challenge. Second thing that we can notice and remember is sin can be resisted, and we see this. If you see sin as sin, just as Joseph did, you know, this is an offense against God. Even David realized that, hey, I sinned against you, Lord. And he has some horrific sins in his life. King David, that is. And so, if you see it as an offense to God, and if you believe that God is present right there, watching what you're about to do, you're able to overcome that. Sin becomes less attractive when you purposely choose God's ways. Over your own ways, your own wants, your own desires, your own path, if you will, placing God at a higher level of importance. So for as me in my life, you know, I don't want it to be an offense to the Lord. I don't want to bring shame to God's name, standing in awe of God. If you fall into sin, this is maybe the fourth thing to look at, is which you and I probably will, somewhere, small or great. It'll come about. Remember God's grace. Remember how God's grace covers a multitude of sins. Remember God's word says in 1 John 1:9 that if I confess my sins, God is what? He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Because we're going to trip up. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to have bad thoughts. We're going to say some things that we shouldn't have said. These things are going to happen. Don't do it anymore to the best of your ability, but better yet, do it in God's strength. Put on the full armor of God, as Scripture commands us. Ephesians is very clear on that. Paul writes, set up the boundaries, set up the high standards. If you slip, don't pass the boundaries to ask for help. Surround yourself with support, brothers and sisters in Christ, that keep you accountable. Remember, resisting temptation doesn't mean that life's going to be easier. It could become more complicated and more difficult. Since I've been in ministry for so many years now, well over 35 years, and I just want to share with you a story of a young man that I sat across the table with, and I heard his story, and it was kind of a horrific story. We had purposely set boundaries up, especially doing student ministries. You know, when our kids were growing up, they were young, they were toddlers, we would try to get away and do date nights. If grandpa and grandma weren't available, we would bring a babysitter in, and we would pick up the babysitter. Usually a high school gal would come and watch her little ones. If they didn't drive, we'd pick them up and drop them off. The dilemma was taking home someone like that late at night, for me to take someone home late at night. Our boundary was to never be alone in the car in that situation with a high school young gal. So that meant that Helen would have to take him home, which I didn't necessarily like all the time, but she did. And sometimes super late at night, and the point being is the boundaries were inconvenience, but they were super important. We didn't only want to protect ourselves, we wanted to protect the young gals and the integrity there. In fact, we knew the youth pastor that sat across us had been in a situation, and he had told us that he had dropped one off. She expressed her, I like you. Oh, really? Well, he corrected that. And even though he corrected that, she went to the door as he thought she was being dropped off, and had tore her blouse and went inside and said that the youth pastor assaulted her. He didn't do that. And there was consequences, and this is a true story. His ministry was over. And the devil's out there. He wants to take us out. Tempting situations are there. And so, you know, this being the case, you know, we look at the life of Joseph and what happened to him, and Potiphar's wife was so angry that Joseph didn't get in bed with her. She was furious that she frames Joseph. And look what Joseph has to go through, Genesis 39:11. But one day when he went into the house to do his work, none of the men in the house were there in the house, and she caught him by the garment and saying, "Lie with me." But he left the garment in her hands and fled and gone out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called the men of the house and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." Potiphar was so mad at Joseph that he made him thrown into prison. However, it didn't seem like Potiphar completely believed his wife. If you look at the story and scenario, you know the background. Potiphar, really, the punishment of that crime that just was accused of Joseph was death, stoning, not just to throw him in the prison. And it was not just a simple dungeon, bad, worst of the worst prisons, but it was the king's prison. So Joseph got a punishment. It was a light punishment, all with the providence of God involved, I believe firmly. Joseph's life was a roller coaster. So remember, he was one day down in the dumps and in the pit. Another day, you know, he's in charge, constantly taking and doing things that he thought would honor God with his life. Joseph was aware of God's presence and seeking to live that. Genesis 39:21 states this, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison." At times you might have good seasons in life. You and I might have really good seasons, and I can reminisce and share of great seasons in life. And other times you might ask, "Lord, what are you doing? What is going on here? Why are you allowing this to happen?" Remember this, the providence of God is like the cash found in the robber's coat pocket by Whitfield, you know, that he gave to the orphanage, more than what was stolen from him. And the story of that, of George Whitfield, was rough circumstances, difficult. And we find the wealth of God's goodness in that story. And we can find it in our own lives as well, I believe. So realize God's always present. Believe it, walk in it, and do your best to live 2022 for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truths in the pages of Scripture. Lord, I can't help but sit here and believe that you reminded us, you challenged us, you showed us something. If anything, first and foremost, you showed us that you're in control. Your will be done. And we need to lean into you, walk with you in 2022. Bless each and every life here. Use them for furtherance of the gospel. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, as we close our time, may it be a sweet aroma to you. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Let's stand.